Welcome back, WNST, Tass in Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. My wife's told you to order some ice cream. I'm going to invite you to order some ice cream, but I want to remind everyone, the sweet potato crumble. Sweet potato crumble. Make sure you throw that. And not to mention the eggnog and the peppermint bark and all the other cool holiday flavors. Luke, we got a football game on Tuesday night. It certainly would taste better with a little pistachio ice cream from Dark. It might for me as well. I've bitched about the league and the game and the Broncos, and you know, we haven't even really talked about the other games or Thanksgiving, or I didn't even ask you how your family's doing and how the cranberry was and all of that stuff, but they're going to play a game. We're going to watch it. What? I know you put more thought into this than me, and I know John Harbaugh's put more than any of us, and I saw the Broncos sort of gathering around that kid before the game on Sunday and said, all right, kid, here's 10 plays, right? I don't know what this is going to look like, but it's probably not going to look good.
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand that's a much more extreme scenario, even though you're only talking about a few players, but we know how important the quarterback position is. So this isn't a case where the Ravens don't have Lamar Jackson, Robert Griffin III, Trace McSorley, and Tyler Huntley, and suddenly Marquise Brown is trying to play quarterback. So I think you'll see a much more highly functioning product. Not saying it's going to be at the equal of the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, but they'll be able to complete passes. For example, they're not going to have one completion for the entire game, but
it sounds funny when you say complete forward passes.
And we were talking a little bit before. Yeah. But we were talking a little bit about this before the virus outbreak began. In the aftermath of the Tennessee game. Keep in mind, this was a banged-up football team. This was a team that had just suffered a very disappointing loss. This was a team that thought it was playing at Pittsburgh, undefeated opponent, on a short week. And there was a certain element to what we talked about in terms of, no, you're not throwing in the towel or going there expecting to lose. But there was a thought, at least from an outsider's perspective, and even probably if you're John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta and some of the higher-ups in the organization, and saying, you know what, Pittsburgh's gotten us once. They're in better health than us right now. And again, this is before the virus stuff started. Let's go there. We're going to compete our butts off. We're going to try our best. We know it's Ravens Steelers. Anything can happen. Yeah, we're not going to have Calais Campbell or Brandon Williams, and we've lost Ronnie Stanley, and we've been missing Marshall Yanda all along. You know, all the things we talked about at that point. But what did we talk about on the other side of that? What their schedule shapes up to be in the month of December. 4 out of 5 games against losing teams. The Browns, yeah, they won again on Sunday. And, you know, their record's really good. You know, they're 8-3. I give them credit. Do I think they're a true 8-3 team, how I normally view an 8-3 team as being good and possibly great? I don't think that, because I've watched them multiple times. Still,
don't tell that to Bernard McKinney. You know, whatever you do.
Well, of course. Hey, and look, God bless them. They're not going to have a losing season. I mean, that's something they don't get to say hardly ever.
You know, Luke, what's crazy is Todd Schuler, you know, our partner at Blondell Miller Schuler, his wife is a Browns fan. I'm like, how in the world does a Baltimore guy get a Browns fan? You know, like, but I mean, I try to think about the 10 Browns fans I have in my life and thinking, like, they're 8-3 and I hope they're having fun with it. It's like these Bills fans. I mean, I hope they're having a good time with this at this point, right?
No question. But to go back to the Ravens, 4 out of their final 5 games are against teams with losing records. We saw the Raiders just with a completely listless performance. And that's one of the teams the Ravens are jockeying with for wild card position right now. So my point is, yeah, if the season ended today, they'd be on the outside looking in. But you look at their month of December, and I've seen, I think ESPN's Football Power Index has said that the Ravens have the easiest remaining schedule in the NFL in terms of looking at it from an analytical standpoint. My point is this: get through it. Whether that means the game is played on Tuesday and they get their butts kicked by 3 touchdowns, whether that means, even though there's been no sign of this being reality, there's a forfeit, or even if it means the game ultimately does get postponed and they finally, after dragging their feet for the last 5 days, they finally say, we're going to move this to week 18. Any of those scenarios, get through these next few days. Make sure your players who were not part of this outbreak are remaining vigilant in what they're doing, because the worst thing you can have happen is you get through this widespread outbreak that's cost you 20 plus players for, you know, a game, who knows how long. I mean,
well, let's call this what it is, the biggest game of the year, right, for them at this point.
It is, but see,
if you're taking this seriously, if it's not Eddie Fainer, I mean, if we're into a season here, this is a giveaway game in a pivotal, in any other normal, you know, non-Orwellian circumstance, this would be the kind of game that you wouldn't want to give away and certainly would put it in the wrong direction. But to your point that, you know, they have a pad out on the way out that they can look as bad as they want to look on Tuesday and still come back 2 weeks from now and be a playoff team and raise hell in January. And maybe in January it's the Steelers who have the plague and their quarterbacks are all sick. And they can come and play with – get Hines Ward to come in and play quarterback. I don't know, you know, because that's pretty much where this thing's going at this point, right?
Well, and I mean, I hate to think of it in those terms, but totally acknowledging that possibility, but you never know what's going to happen. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger could tear up his ankle in a couple weeks, and we're, you know, talking about a Dak Prescott situation. You don't know. But even before this happened, I was calling fooey on people saying this was a must-win game. They're not catching the Steelers to win the division. I mean, they're four games back with six to play. You're not catching them, and their schedule, while it might be a little more difficult than the Ravens, they don't have a remaining five-game juggernaut in the month of December. So you're not catching them. You're not, you know, and even if they would, they're not catching Kansas City for the number one seed either. And we've talked about that. Other than having the first-round bye, which who knows if that's even going to be a thing, if we get to a point where games are canceled and can't be made up, we go to the eight-team format, and even the number one seed's playing in the first round. But, you know, in terms of the rest of the playoffs, whether they end up being in a bubble or not, we've talked about that possibility, and I don't disagree with you on the playoff bubble notion, but even if they don't do that, we've seen firsthand home field advantage doesn't mean much this year. I mean, the Ravens have lost three games at home this year, and they're historically known as one of the best home teams in the NFL. So my overall point is I don't think this is a must-win situation. I didn't think this was a must-win situation even before, you know, 20-some players go on the COVID list. You go, you try your best. If you're John Harbaugh, you try to rally this team as much as possible by talking about Ryan Mallett, by talking about Charlie Batch in 2012.
By talking about this being your opportunity. I mean, this is a dream opportunity. Even that kid from the Broncos that stunk on Sunday, he had a little something saying, I'm going to try to do this. You know what I mean? These guys are all ballers.
For the rest of his life,
you know what I mean?
Kendall Hinton's going to have a story for the rest of his life. I mean, chances are he's probably going to be out of the league in the next 12 months because he was on, you know, practice squad. And I mean,
are you saying that he hate me is going to have a longer career?
he actually had a decent size career. Rod Spar,
he returned some kicks, as I remember.
For Carolina, also, I believe. But my overall point is, if you're John Harbaugh, your message is, guys, look, we're in a difficult spot. We get that. But you guys are all paid professionals too. And the entire world is telling you right now, you don't have a chance. And this is a farce that we're even playing this game. And look, John deep down might not be buying what he's selling to them. But when you're the coach, that's your job. You're as much psychologist in this situation as anything else. You're telling these guys, let's go compete. Stranger things have happened. We've got a hell of a special teams unit. We've already seen Devin Duvernay return a kick for a touchdown this year. We get a special team score. We block a punt. Our secondary, which is the strength of our defense, is fortunately fully intact. The corners that are on the COVID list were all guys on IR and not playing anyway. So we pick off Marcus Peters picks off Ben Roethlisberger and takes it to the house, which is not a far-fetched proposition whatsoever. You get a couple scores like that, this is a game at the very least. I guarantee you that. This is a game at the very least if you get a couple things like that.
Well, RG3 knows what to do and what not to do with a football.
And that's the difference between the Broncos situation and what the Ravens have. The Ravens still have a representative backup quarterback. Look, RG3's not Lamar. No one in this league's Lamar. I mean, we've talked about it. He's one of one. So, yeah, they're not going to be the same in that way. And yeah, if you're asking me to pick right now, I'm going to pick the Steelers to win by multiple scores. But as I mentioned, this team that has an edge from a special team standpoint and a team that still has a really good secondary, and it's a Pittsburgh offense, by the way, that's not going to have James Conner, and they haven't really done a great job running the football anyway. So look, I'm not going to sit here with any shred of objectivity and say the Ravens, I think the Ravens are going to win.
I'm picking against them this week. You've been waiting. How many years? 12, 13 years we've known each other. You've been waiting forever. This is the week I'm picking against them.
It took a pandemic for you to pick against them. But again, my point is you lose, you fall to 6-5. It's really, as much as everyone feels like it's the end of the world, in the same way that everyone felt that way the day after the Tennessee loss, you kind of see this whole situation gives you a little more perspective about what this year is all about. It's weird. It's not ideal. You're going to have some situations where you feel like you're getting screwed. To a point, and again, I'm not making light of the prevailing, overwhelming dark cloud that is the pandemic, and I don't want to make light of that, but from a football context, you understood that you could, in certain situations, you'll be the windshield or the bug, and the Ravens are the bug this time, big time. There's no way to sugarcoat that. But get through this. The result on Tuesday, assuming they play, being what it is, get on the other side of this. The Cowboys game is now Monday, so you have 6 days. You're on a short week, but not an unreasonably short week.
Interesting to see who's going to be able to come back and play, right?
Well, and that's the other thing too. And this is where I've been very careful, and this speaks from a virus perspective. You've heard a lot of people say, you missed 10 days. Let's not make the assumption, as much as you pray that all these guys aren't experiencing too many symptoms and they are back in 10 days and they're good to go. We also know there've been situations where guys miss multiple games. So, there've been a couple situations, not many, but a couple where guys have, it's already been said they're going to miss the season, because of complications. Again, we're talking about a small percentage, but we know that the risk is far from zero.
Hey, I would say this. 20 guys are sick. One of them's going to get real sick. One of them's going to be sicker than 10 of the guys being asymptomatic, which is something that across the spectrum of humanity, we've seen a lot of that as well. But somebody's going to be sick and unavailable because they're sick out of this. You hope not, but I would say that, 2-3 weeks from now, somebody's going to be unavailable because it's a virus.
I don't want to make that prediction, but it's certainly a possibility. Now, the one thing we will say here, this group of players, you're talking about incredibly fit individuals. We know that the virus, much more higher risk for the elderly, for people who are obese, for people who have comorbidities. That's reality. That's not to say the players are completely free of risk, but there is a lesser risk. So that's where, you take some comfort. I don't want to say comfort's not the right word, but you do exhale a little bit more and say, chances are these guys will be okay. But that's why
they're also being cared for medically again, caught in the early stages. The whole idea is to catch it early so you don't give it to anybody else. Once you catch it early, you get medicine, you're taking your temperature,
Right.
All of those things that I wouldn't have, quite frankly, if I popped 30 today because I'd have to go stand in line, wait for it. All of that is baked into this. It's going to be brought up, I think, politically as hospitals fill up, which I think the NFL is going to be dealing with, Luke. It'll go back to that. And I think it'll go back to that when the ball gets up in the air on Tuesday night, too, because it's going to be a very, very strange evening where the whole world's going to be tuning in because what the hell else do you have to do on a Tuesday night,
Yeah.
They're going to get Tuesday their game.
I guess normally you see Mac football on a Tuesday night, and we're going to see AFC North, and maybe I should use that in quotation marks. But I guess the point I was trying to make, though, is that's where I've been really careful, and as much as I've been a guy who's been optimistic about being able to play, understanding, you're going to have some hiccups, you're going to have some challenges, you're going to have some instances where things aren't going to be fair, quite frankly. But I've really kind of been leery about hearing the talk, 10 days, that means Lamar can play against the Cowboys, Look, we hope, and that's a possibility, but I don't think we should make any assumptions in that way, especially if, Calais Campbell did tweet about it a few days ago that, take it, speaking firsthand, this virus is no joke. Presumably it's knocked him on his butt a little bit. Now, you hope that that's the extent of it and not anything worse than that, but that's where I want to be very careful from a
procedural. But even if you get knocked on your butt, my point is if you get knocked on your butt, that might cost you 2 or 3 games.
Well,
as opposed to in the old days, you take some fluids and
sure,
you can go play. You know, that's a different kind of sickness.
And here's the other part of this. And I'm not even trying to take the fatalistic stance that any of these guys suffer something long term. But just from a standpoint of anyone who's had the flu before, anyone who's had walking pneumonia. I had that in high school. I think it was my sophomore year of high school. I mean, that knocked me on my butt for probably the better part of 2 weeks. But here's the thing, and this is where we get into so much unknown with this for the Ravens from a football perspective. These guys can come back and play, and you know that they're cleared. You know, they take a look at their heart, all those things, and they get the go ahead, and that they're all right. That's not to say that Lamar Jackson is going to be 100%. That's, you know, speaking as someone who has had a respiratory issue when I was in high school and healthy, it was probably a month or two until I really felt fully myself.
And by the way, you always wonder, is it ever going to really come back? You know,
sure.
Yeah.
But that's where we get into, these guys can return to play. And I have a lot of confidence in the medical. You know, they have very good doctors in the Ravens organization. So, you know, I'm not going to accuse any of them of anything shady or unethical, anything like that. But there is a difference between being healthy enough to play and being healthy enough to compete at your highest normal level. So that's where I think for me, much more so than acknowledging the risk of someone maybe missing the rest of the season. And you hope nothing worse than that, but that's where you do wonder for a struggling football team that had already lost 3 out of 4, has gone through all this, which, you know, this has to take a hell of a toll on you mentally as well, whether you're someone who was infected or someone who hasn't been infected.
Well, you're fully invested in this, and the thing was going pretty well there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, before the bye week, yeah, I had no question about it, but that's where you do wonder, is there some fallout from this that you have guys that, you know, they were 100% before getting sick, and they're 90%. Tell you what, here's the secret in the NFL. That margin between the absolute best players and the worst players in the league isn't as much as we think it is. So if you're talking about a guy that's normally 100% and playing at the highest level, a Pro Bowl player or an MVP caliber quarterback like the Ravens have, that guy going from 100% to 90%?
How about this, dude? If you went and asked Von Miller right now about his ability to go play 12 days after he was diagnosed back in the spring, I bet he would tell you there's no way I could have played football 12 days after, you know, like literally. So that's what I'm thinking about for all of these guys, particularly two of the guys who had a compromised situation to begin with. Yeah. Not necessarily for Lamar, who's 22 and allegedly healthy. I mean, again, a lot of this is HIPAA related and weird in every way. So, but I think we should all think that with 20 football players, someone is going to be sick enough that 2 or 3 weeks from now is going to have a hard time playing at the level they were playing at last week. Okay. So I think that's a fair, when you have 20 guys that have it, maybe more.
Yeah. And like I said, even if they're not missing time per se, are they the same? You know, I mean, and look, I also want to point out some examples. Freddie Freeman, we all remember what happened in early July with him. I mean, he talked about 104 temperature. He, you know, he's sitting there so sick, thinking he was going to die. And which, look, lots of people have lots of illnesses where when you're at your absolute worst, you feel that way. He did eventually come back, and oh yeah, he was, you know, played at an MVP level for the Atlanta Braves. So we want to present every perspective here. But yeah, there's a concern to this, and I'll go back to what I said. Just get through these next couple of days, play the game, not play the game, get on the other side of it, get a chance to exhale, get everyone back in the building, get on a normal week, play the Cowboys on Monday, and you look at the rest of December. The schedule, at the very least, sets up for the Ravens to have a strong enough finish that they can still secure a playoff spot, and you get to January, you never know what's going to happen then. It's hard to feel that way right now, but all of that is still in front of them, regardless of what happens Tuesday night or how ugly it might be.
It'll look like the Ravens and the Steelers.
At least
and then they'll kick the ball.
The uniforms, right?
Maybe they can wear those jailbird ones. Maybe this would be a night for the Ravens to break out the mustard yellow look, all the way through.
You know what? That is a great idea. You know how much I hate those pants? That is a great idea for – for this game. Just go all in on just how ugly this situation is and wear the mustard pants. I love that idea.
I'll be thinking about that. Oh, fashion man. Tweets by Luke Jones. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. We don't laugh enough around here. We're going to get our ass kicked on Tuesday night. We have a virus raging in America and a maniac president who's stealing elections and like all of that. So all of that being said, we're going to be here eating pumpkin pie and serving up pumpkin pie and pumpkin spice latte ice cream to you at a deep discount that my wife is going to be telling you about during the commercial breaks. I'm so proud of my wife doing the commercial. We went out and had a steak at the Roost Chris the other night to celebrate. And a big shout out to Steve DeCastro and our friends at Roost Chris for all the support for There Goes My Hero and some love for them as well. Support your local friends. I know, you know, we did Thanksgiving in and all that. We're going to be talking so much about our local sponsors and our friends at Royal Farms and shipping crab cakes from Fadley's and shipping crab cakes from Costas. We're going to be talking about all of that here for the next month. Take care of our friends at the Arca. Order some ice cream. I'm Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.